Morning, everybody. Mark, April 8th. I know, 4-8. And we'll start with a picture.
We hand to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In this ridiculous size, so we have 200 women. Yes.
There you go. Yeah.
Or we like.
All right. Good morning. Let's take roll call. Director Pankowski.
Present.
Director Mora.
Present.
Directors.
Approve the order of
Second.
Second that.
Thank you. Okay. The comment. Good morning, everybody. Happy to see people.
Yes.
Thanks.
Are you moving to general public comment?
Yes.
Okay, we've got to get the motion to the...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Motion to the approval. You did the motion to approve
it. You got it seconded.
Got it seconded.
Okay. You've got a vote.
Oh.
Aye.
Aye. So the same vote on here. Don't vote my highlighted. Okay, public comment. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend the meeting and provide comments on matters of business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on an individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your concerns. We'll start with any public comments.
No, we don't take it.
Okay, go to information. Oh, I'm sorry, Pete, you need to say something?
No, I was only giving a description of how online comments work.
Oh, okay.
We don't do that.
Okay. Yeah. Information items. We'll start with parties.
Morning. So in the month of March, 781 ran 36 calls, 25 medical aids, one structure fire, two other fires, one traffic collision, three hazardous conditions, and four public service. We had two automatic aid to Tuolumne County. The same time, engine 631 ran 15 calls with 9 medical aids, one structure fire, one traffic collision, public service, with one auto aid to GCSD. If you go to the graph, we're about on par for average the last 3 years of what we've run in March, kind of slowing down a little bit from kind of those post-COVID years. Significant incidences. Tamron incident on 3-8-26 was a Sunday. UCSD engine 781, 761, and 511 were dispatched to a residential structure fire in the Mono Village area while they were attending training at Station 51. 761 arrived first on scene and reported a single-story mobile home with a working fire, and due to the all three engines being right across the street at training, they were able to get a quick knockdown on the fire, preventing the fire to spread further into the structure. On 324 and 325 up here in Groveland, we had two consecutive days of electric scooter accidents. Two patients took a tumble and sustained injuries that required them to get airlifted out of Groveland down to the valley for further treatment. CSD would like to remind everybody to wear helmets if you're going to ride bikes or scooter or anything like that. The apparatus, all of our equipment, engine 781, engine 787, engine 783, and utility 786 are all in service.
Can I ask a quick question?
Go ahead.
Where were the scooter accidents?
One was on Nonpareil, and then one was at Twin Pines Apartments.
Those head injuries?
Yes, they both lost consciousness. So then due to the ambulance for the protocol, they can't handle it here in Sonora. So they sent them to a Valley hospital. Station training. This month for station training, we worked on our 4064 skills to ensure that we are proficient and ready for the upcoming fire season. These skills are just kind of the refresher that we do every day, but hose lays, putting your PPE on, throwing fire shelters, making sure we're all doing it within our time limits. Fire department news. Engine 781 and Engine 631 attended Public Safety Day at Tenaya Elementary. This is always a fun day where we get to interact with the kids and show them all the fun tools we have and answer all the interesting questions that kids like to have. station improvements. In the month of March, the Station 78 personnel, we went through the process of taking down the old fluorescent tubes in the station and upgrading the station to modern LED can lights, which improves the look in the station as well as energy efficiency of the station. And then lastly, but not least, on April 18th from 2 to 6 p.m., we're having an open house at Station 78. And we invite everyone to show up and check out the engines, check out the station, ask any questions you might have, or just come hang out. Have a good time. Thank you.
From the board, public comments?
Turn up big?
Yes, sir.
So on the cert
front, April 26th, we have the Red Cross and CPR course coming up. It's a first aid refresher. We're also going to work with them on shelter setup. Incident happens with mass casualty, what have you. The folks know what to do as far as setting up, how to set up. They do have a particular structure we need to follow. We completed the traffic management training with California Highway Patrol on the 28th of March. That was well attended. CERT will also be co-hosting a wildfire preparedness workshop on May 23rd and June 6th. So many people as we can get in there as possible as we're going into fire season. The more we know, the better. And then CERT is working with T-Cares to review and select the current best GMRS radios. I know they're looking at different types of wireless radios, longer batteries, et cetera. So that's currently being investigated. So anyone that doesn't have a GMRS radio, we really encourage people to do that. Because in the event of a wildfire, we've seen it happen in the past. So telephone poles, Wi-Fi gets all burned up. You have no way to communicate. So that radio could be your lifesaver. In our case, if I'm in Sonora and the wife is at home, you know, if something happens up here, I hear about it. Something happens down there, I can let her know, hey, don't come down. This is going on, et cetera. So they are beneficial to them. Also on April 22nd, we're set up our first active shooter class. Right now, we're targeting the business owners at this point. Then we want to expand it to others, the general public. Again, that awareness, it doesn't have to happen in your particular business. You could be at Walmart, you could be anywhere. But at least if you're prepared mentally and you know what to look for, how to act, it's potentially save your life, your family's life, et cetera. So thanks to Pete and the GCSD team, that's going to be held here. We say 9 to 12, but it's probably going to be 9 to 11. AM on Wednesday the 22nd. That's it. Any questions for CERT?
Yep. Have an ETA on when they're going to finish the evaluation of the radios?
I'm sorry?
Do they have an ETA on when they're going to finish the evaluation of the radios?
Not at this point. They actually had one selected. They're supposed to do all kinds of wonderful things, only to find out that it couldn't. Had to go back to scratch.
I've been looking at them for a while.
Yeah. That's why we thought we had one narrowed down. And then when they actually went to test it, didn't do all the things it said it could do. So thanks for working on that one.
As it goes with technology.
It's wonderful when it works. Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate it. And we don't have Louis. We have
Yes, we have Andy.
Say that.
So, on the operation side, influent totals, effluent totals were pretty average. Rainfall totals pretty low, 300ths of an inch for the month of March. Water use was in line with normal March averages, maybe a little higher for the warm weather. People are starting to use their irrigation again, including us. We had to turn on the park before it turned brown completely. We did have a lot of water quality flushing or line breaks and work that's going on being finished up. AWS main extension. We had average after hour calls, 23, 10 water, 13 sewer. Part of that is keeping up on AWS. We have refilling the generator. We're not on PG&E power. So, we had a leak investigation at Caltrans yard that we helped them out with. They have water coming in their yard and determined it was groundwater. Our fire hydrant at Buckskin Court. Water service line was hit by a contractor on fountain floor. It was not marked. It was buried on an empty lot, so it's located for a pass. So we found it with their trencher.
So a whole fire hydrant?
The fire hydrant, no, that was just
okay. Right
there. The cutler.
Got it.
Frozen. And we relocated a meter at the Groveland Motel. Sewer side, we did have one sanitary sewer overflow. That was identified by operations staff. They looking at the investigation for the Caltrans yard. The meter is across the street from across Ferretti Road, meter for Caltrans yard. And as they were looking at that, they noticed that the panel was starting to bubble up right there in the dirt lot. And so they sent a crew out immediately. We were able to paint it and get it all cleaned up. And it turned out that the old community youth center, I guess, was back there behind kind of adjacent to Two Guys Pizza. And clean out was not properly abandoned, so root grown down into the main. It was, I think, about 30 feet long. Pulled it out. We went in there and repaired the Y. The clean out is still there, but we capped it so that if anybody ever needs to build on that lot again, they're stepped out right. Lift stations, we started doing some generator maintenance, had to replace some batteries, PLC batteries, generator batteries, full of pressure transducer, low level float at LS8, and LS10, a pump that we were not using for a while because of electrical issue. Every time the pump would start, try and start two pumps, we'd pop a breaker. So we had one turned off for quite a while. We think we fixed the pump or the breaker issue, but when we went to restart the pump, seal had failed on the pump. So hold that pump, and that's down at the top. As the maintenance side, the creek is not working right now. I'm not 100% sure what's going on there. I think it's part of the PLC. Okay, there's been dealing with AWS for a new water pump for generators. That failed. We sent that down for some retro work, came back, fired it back up. The water pump started dripping, so we had to replace that. Wastewater treatment plant, just normal maintenance items, RAS pump, check valve, tube and adjust packing on the Omar, which is the pump that separates the grid. Now, the grid hit, we have some issues that are coming up that are trying to work through, but basically there's a lot of gears and stuff in there that turn this giant wheel in there that pulls the grit off the surface, and all those things are starting to fail. So we're in the process. We're going to pump it down, get a crew in there, figure out what we need, then we're going to have to get everything built. Not something you can just buy off the shelf. Get it built, then they're going to have to pump it down again and get in there and replace it in a hurry, because grit pit is something that can't be taken. We're working through that right now. Vehicles, 90-day inspections were being completed. 781, we had a main pump issue, and it turned out that it was a wiring harness rubbing up against the frame. Took them a while to find it, but very intermittent problem that they were having. So he got that figured out and he's back on the road. Audible Divers were up. Audible Divers Incorporated, we use them. They plugged tank 5, the old tank, and we got some new valves installed on the outside of that tank. Also did an inspection on tank 5 since the work that was done, the rehab work that was done on that years ago, half ago. So they went ahead and inspected that. Inspected tank 4. And we also plugged the intake line at Duncourt. And that's the line that we use for AWS, goes to the pump, which pumps to AWS, but it's also our drought resistant gate. So they plugged it so we can install a drought resistant gate. What that'll do is when the lake drops below the intake line, we have a backup pump, man and pump to that vault. And we want to lock off the, so that it doesn't go back into the lake. So basically right now, it's just building a gate. We're going to drop it in there. So it's plugged right now. Should be completed Friday. Then Neerich is doing some finish-up work on AWS, asphalt, and that type of thing. They did extend the line, put a new line in from the corner of Freddy and Flint Court down to AWS. It's upsized line, which will help ensure use on that line on the AWS project. And then working up tank 5, finishing up some small stuff up there. And then SMCI started Black Road Harbor project, or the extension from Black Road Harbor up to Highway 120. They're working on that currently. They should be done within 2 weeks.
Let me hear you say that clear, because we're still in that.
They had some inspection issues with the contractor. I think it was a county inspector that kept picking it back, but I think that's passed now, a week or so ago, but now we're back to PJD. They're very slow. They're very kind.
Thank you, Lane. Great on a generator instead of that.
Anybody have any questions?
One that's not on his dog park. Apparently, when they put the new line in for Pump Point Court, the dog park line had got in. I found out about it last week. I think I was on a vacation. I came back. I found out yesterday that it was broken. So they didn't have any water for about a week at the dog park. But that is. Dog park people.
We'll move on to the gym.
Actually, it's me.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Oh.
Used to it. All right. So finance. Staff has initiated the preparation for fiscal year 26-27 budget. Departments are currently providing anticipated expenditure information, and a preliminary budget is expected to be presented to the board for review next month or early June, end of May, early June, figure probably end of May. The district has also received its annual update of GASB 75, our actuarial report for retiree healthcare obligations, or otherwise known as OPEB. The report indicates that the district currently has $1.8 million in total long-term liability, of which roughly 75% is currently funded through the district's SERP trust account. The remaining unfunded liability is approximately $460,000. The liability did increase this year due to updated actuarial assumptions. The plan remains relatively well-funded, though, particularly in comparison to most similar agencies. Most agencies are between 0 and 50% funded, so the district being 75% funded, it's in a really good position. And additionally, the plan applies to a closed group of employees, meaning there's no others that can enter into it. So it will continually go down as progress. Records management and workflows. The district continues to make steady progress in the digitization of our records. Efforts remain focused on the conversion of our maps, which represent the largest portion of the district's physical records. To date, we have scanned 5,194 maps that have been indexed with metadata, and this represents approximately 75% of the completion of the scanning of the maps project. In addition, progress continues on the implementation of our workflow automation. The park application process has been completed within that system and is now available online. The workflow improves efficiency by automating the document routing, tracking process, and internal processing, just to remind the board, it's part of our LaserFish, which is also like the records management, and then we have the workflow component to it. The next workflow that we're going to be focusing on is our internal leak adjustment form. Customers have high water consumption. We get several of those at least every single month, so it makes sense to move next to like one of our next most used forms. Fire assessment during the month of March, much of admin's time was spent working closely with SCI on development of the engineer's report, which is before the board for consideration today. So that will be gone over in more detail shortly. And then lastly, on the assessment, I will be working on putting together a presentation before the end of the week, as we'll be presenting to the Pine Mountain Lake Board should the board move forward with the assessment today. So I'll be working on preparing that later so that could be presented. And then lastly, Movies in the Park. We have begun the preparation for the upcoming Movies in the Park season, and the event dates were just finalized yesterday, and public outreach will begin shortly with our first event scheduled for Memorial Day weekend.
Returning the old map. And I understand every time they change the actuarial assumption. So have we ever been higher than 75%?
Yes, we have. Yes, we've almost.
So we're there, and now they've changed the assumption. So no.
We were at one point like almost at 100% of it.
The consultant is finalizing the report, and he has offered to come and present the report if he's interested. I could schedule that for our next quarter meeting. So I know he did that 2 years ago. So that's something you are interested in be happy to go over it and answer any questions. That's too
interesting.
Okay. I'll schedule it. It's pretty
strict.
It's a great report.
Mm-hmm. It's important to, I mean, we, you know, it's so, I mean, all pension related stuff. So assumption, fine. Change to the average lifespan or something.
That's what it is. It's the life expectancy as well as the cost. Right? We went from 100 down to 70.
Life expectancy. Will take.
In engagement and long-term planning, you have basically it's been a few different CSDA committee meetings, and many of them focused on the financial health of CSDA, which is good, and then also working toward the potential purchase, the building that they occupy under a lease currently that's owned by SDRMA. And that is under discussion with SDRMA to potentially purchase that building. Long-term goal of CSDA is to have a permanent presence in the county with the building there. So, for the public, that's a statewide association that represents all special districts. On the legislative front, we're continuing to see legislation in mass related to an attempt to streamline permitting. And I know that our remote attendees from Tuolumne County would be interested or are interested in this topic just because the legislature wants to make it fairly cookie cutter to be able to not only receive building permits, but build quickly. We all appreciate that. And now we have a little twist on that to make it easier to do parcel maps, you know, to be able to split a parcel into four parcels and making that easier under a ministerial permit type situation versus a standard public hearing, CEQA, larger, more expensive, longer process, and making also vesting maps lasting longer. In other words, once they get their entitlement to build the subdivision, that potentially last or be able to be renewed without reopening the conditions of the approval. And if we go out 16 years, which is being proposed with those approvals, that a lot changes in 16 years. And we need to be able to, for example, for us, we have permits, water and sewer, that we are up for a change in our wastewater permit, and it's going to rock our life. Require a different treatment plant, and require different treatment methods. Those types of things, if we can't include that in the conditions of development, and we're stuck with negotiating directly with the property owner, pushing our ordinance. Our goal, and I talk about this in the CSDA discussion as well with the chapter, is that we're able to sit down county and be actively involved in the planning process for both parcel maps, subdivisions, and even to be better involved in the permitting process so that we don't have houses being built on top of water mains and different things like that that require us to go out and enforce it. Costs us legal money, costs us staff time, angst with customers because they get a building permit and then all of a sudden they find a easement or a water main or something, and we have to respond to it. So that's happening. It's not just here. It's happening. PUD. It's happening throughout the state, especially in rural areas. So that legislation is concerning because if it comes into effect, it will force the county and the district into a fast track of approving things. Which is fine as long as we can communicate in advance and we work out the processes to get there. Because there will be penalties if they don't comply with it, the land use authority. So we want to make sure that we're there to help out the county through that, but also be involved in the process. So those are things that CSG hasn't taken on before, but they affect all of our services and primarily cost, primarily cost and staff time. I spent a lot of time on the with SCI on developing the report. We'll talk about that. The other thing that's been an interesting effort, and Nathan's been involved in it, as well as Pomona County low-impact camping ordinance. They're considering an ordinance to allow for low-impact camping. It's primarily being pushed by the, I want to call them happy campers, but they're
Hip camp,
there we go. Promoting that. There's been legislation recently to make it easier so they don't have to go through the State Department of Housing to get approvals. The county can adopt an ordinance to allow it to happen. With certain limitations, the county has the ability to issue limitations. But the concern being anytime you develop property from a residential property into a commercial property, in other words, you're renting spaces to people, you're going to increase water consumption, you're going to increase sewer production, you're going to increase emergency response needs. And if that's just done in a permit without any consideration for impact long term, we have a lot of large lots out here. We could have a lot of campers out here, and the water consumption could go through the roof, and they're still treated as a residential property. Skews our numbers in the state doesn't understand that. It makes the residential consumption go up when we're supposed to be taking that consumption down. So there's a lot of implications. So far, we've worked really well with Sean Hembry with the county and talking through this. We've got other districts that are involved in that as well. So that came to the Board of Supervisors. It was tabled at our request. Came to look at it and if we can work out the details. And then we have a chapter, 12-week chapter meeting on Monday coming up. I think we have confirmation from most of the supervisor candidates. The intent was to have the Board of Supervisor candidates for the seats that are up for Anaya Kirk and Ryan Campbell. I have the candidates there to have 5 minutes to introduce themselves and tell the districts what they're about. It won't be a debate. It won't be a deal other than they'll have to get their thoughts together in a 5 minute period. And hopefully they'll stick around and attend the rest of the meeting, because we're looking at, sometimes it's hard for me to stand up and say, hey, I represent all of the districts in my comments on these things related to county permitting, county development, all that. I'd really like for all of the districts, because they have a vested interest in that process, to come together and work together to be able to infuse our, and not only our needs, but to have to kind of recognize that we're an extension of them. The reason that we exist is to provide services in areas that they can't, to allow for economic development, to allow for residential development, and to organize the districts together. And that's the intent of the second discussion at that meeting. We always have a hard time getting through it. 2 hours long before LAFCO starts. But it's going to be an action-packed meeting. Hopefully we'll have good attendance. Okay. Discussion, and it'll give the supervisor candidates an opportunity to introduce themselves to the special districts.
Going on with like the hip camp thing. There's the next step with that as far as.
We can have it as a separate agenda item depending on how it goes, but we're just our goal would be to have the conditions of the issuance of a permit, because basically property owner, if they meet the criteria, whether it's, you know, that they have to be over 2 acres and they can only have so many sites and all that, as long as they meet that criteria, the county can issue a permit. As long as within that permit, one of the conditions is that they must show compliance with district standards and ordinances, you know, that they have to come to us and submit a revised service application And we can say, hey, you need a sub-meter for the commercial part of the operation or water. Analyze, make sure that they have adequate sewer service so that they don't have sewer overflows, those kind of things. And then establish, you know, what their impact would be is to say they have six sites. They can have a maximum of 36 people. What's that impact on fire? And there would be an associated fee or some way to put money into the future of the fire department, expansion of the fire department, all time increases. As long as those are a condition of that permit, then the property owner knows that they have to comply with that because the county will have enforcement requirements in that ordinance to be able to pull a permit or whatever if they don't comply. If it's silent on our stuff and just says that the property owner has to consult with GCSD for the districts, that leaves, that basically is confusing to the property owner. They start the business and then all of a sudden we say, hey, your consumption stuff, whatever. And we have to go into enforcement mode, which puts us in a position of spending staff time, increased cost, increased legal effort, all of that. So far we've gotten good feedback. Concern is that it goes to the board of supervisors. They could be somewhat hesitant to, but they could look at that as an impediment on the development, impediment on the TOT generation like that. So
I don't know if anything really relevant to us or not, but I can still see the public in general, neighbors. I don't want to hip camp next. Hey, are they going to have any input?
They will on development of the ordinance. The ordinance in place, it's what it is. But the county will have requirements. We probably should have it as an agenda item just so, session. So pencil it in for the next agenda because I'm sure by then we'll have it.
This comment on the board. Two. Recommendations. Recognition of Steve Rogers for his 5 years of service to the Groveland Community Service District. Rogers is today.
He was with us earlier, fixing all our problems.
Early. He's in our heads every minute of every day. Steve has been the absolute gem from everything from installing antennas and making things communicate, upgrading to troubleshooting technology. He's an IT manager and takes care of everything. They can set up today, all of that. I mean, we rely on him so much, and he's efficient with what he does. And also be prepared an application to the Palm County Public Power Authority for the cost of upgrading our variable frequency drives at $100,000. And that went before the Board of Supervisors yesterday, and they approved it unanimously. So that's a $100,000 allocation. These drives that from the 80s that take a lot of power and will help us be more efficient, save our pumps, and reduce cost of the ratepayers by $100,000. It's just, I mean, that's the kind of thing he does in his sleep. It's, we should have that level of energy. I mean, I can't say enough good about Steve, and he's made everybody's life just even better. Just,
we're so happy we hired permanently.
Bad boy, Steve.
It's figures.
He is. When I first read it, I was like, 5 years already he's been here? But then at the same time, it's like, has he always been here? Because he just fit in from day one.
It's been different since he's been here. I can remember the part when he wasn't.
Yeah.
We tried to find a technology, an IT consultant, and got various people come in and try to help out, and it was an absolute zoo. Much different. And just conducting our normal business, we have cybersecurity attacks, different things in the past that caused us a lot of grief, and he's on it every single day, well before I am. I have to commend him about that.
Got it. And we'll move on to the next recognition of Alexander Ozzy Lara for his first year of service to the Groveland Community Service District. Ozzy in the building.
Ozzy's a great addition. He is I call him a kid. Are you discriminatory? I hate discrimination. He's great. He's got great work ethic. He's plus what shines. You see him. He's just as always focused and smiling. And comes in at the end of the day, comes in and checks in with everyone and entertains everybody. And I'm just really a great addition.
Recently achieved his treatment free statewide resource.
Really? Board. Great. Outstanding. Not a kid.
No. He's a certified master.
He came from the state parks side. Water treatment.
Spring.
You know, our venture.
Yeah, that's his friend.
I can ask that kind of figure. It's really none of my business. It's the lawyers or somebody.
Hey. Consent calendar. A comment on the consent calendar? All business, we don't have any. And we'll move on to discussion in action. Presentation by CSI Consultant Group to Fire Protection.
Page. I'd like to introduce this. Just as you're spending years on this. But good morning and thank you to the members of the public that have spent the time to come here today. I had hoped we would have an absolutely packed room after our 100 and some odd folks at the town hall discussion, which we'll be doing again. Thank you for taking the time to attend. And anybody online, thank you for tuning in. Today's discussion reflects one of the most important responsibilities, ensuring reliable local fire protection. It's not just today, but for the long term. That's the main thing here is that many times it's easy to solve a problem today. You create problems for later unless you think about the long term. That's what we're... What I've been charged to do is to help local. It's not a new conversation. This is a result of years of discussion, analysis, and public meetings focused on sustaining fire protection in the community. We've had dozens of board meetings where we've had this conversation. Extremely important. As a result of that, I was tasked with the responsibility to present to the board plan to establish the means to ensure the long-term sustainability of the Groveland Fire to keep our community safe by vigorously protecting life and property. Because emergencies don't wait. I heard the commercials. So our role as the local fire provider, GCSD was formed over 70 years ago, believe that, the last 50 of which we've been operating the fire department continuously and successfully. With a clear mission guaranteed level of local service tailored to the community's needs. That's the importance of understanding the role of GCSD and GCSD providers, is that we are responsive to the needs, the conditions, the fire hazards, the needs, everything specific to our area. It might be different than what Lake Corridor, it might be different than what's in the valley. And this board is elected to make decisions about that. That the responsibility to operate the department and to fund the department remains local and must remain reliable. While we work cooperatively with CAL FIRE and the county, there's no automatic fallback that ensures the same level of service our community currently receives. We have the luxury, the blessing of having CAL FIRE station that's staffed with their mission, but available when they're here on the Hill to be able to provide additional bodies and equipment, and with the county. Got the county engine that's here on a year-to-year contract, and that is a real blessing because they provide the service outside the district boundaries, and they help us on mutual aid, automatic aid within the district as well. But keep small fire small. In fact, the county itself is certainly facing budget issues, staffing reductions, budget constraints, and they're struggling with the dedicated source of funding for their replacement. What that means is that with GCSD Fire Department being strong, we help support the entire network. And you know, with the county having budgetary issues and a difficult time in maintaining their fire services and having to expand the fire services in the future, it's always going to be a struggle. So we're focused on making our GCSD fire strong so that we can support the entire fire network. Today's about owning our responsibility locally, not assuming that others. There's so many fire districts that over the years have disbanded because they didn't plan financially for the future. They couldn't make that transition from a volunteer station to a staff station, and basically just did what they could until they couldn't anymore. And then there's an expectation that the county is going to take it over, and that doesn't happen. You know, the county doesn't, they're struggling with their own funds. For them to come in and provide the service, the reason that these fire departments are failing is because they don't have the funding. The county, if the county doesn't have the funding, how are they going to backfill that? Our responsibility locally to make sure that we're solid to represent the security. The reality we're facing here, right now we're operating at minimum service levels. Excellent service, rising costs. What I mean by minimum service is we're at the minimum contract with CAL FIRE at duo staffing. Can't go lower than that. You can't put one person engine. And your cost increases exceeding 5% across operations and contracts, exceeding 5%. And our revenue, not keeping up with that SCR. The aging equipment, including a 17-year-old frontline engine. I saw Matt walk in. Thank you. That is the master that keeps that alive. He's probably approaching his maximum amount of effort. You know, as you can see, it's 17 years and older with a 3-year lead time on a new engine. It's a real concern. We have a backup engine that can serve in its place, but that older than much older than that. So within 1 to 2 years, projections show we'll not be able to sustain even the current minimum level of staffing without action. That's really why we're here. That's what we've talked about over and over. Over the past 5 years, we have spent a lot of time evaluating alternatives, reducing costs where those were possible, established funding structures to offset the impacts of future development. We had to stop the bleeding somewhere. We talked about we had the policy adopted for community facilities district for large commercial development and residential subdivisions. So that allows us to expand the fire department in the future on a separate source of revenue, out of current tax dollars, not an assessment, current assessment. So that funding structure will basically allow for the expansion of the department when the call volume increases. Through the county partnership for many years, resulting in a year-to-year agreement, which provides, like I talked about, very helpful support for calls inside and outside the district. Having the county engine here has changed our world. That's really where we want to stay. We need to put effort into the relationship with the county to make sure that they continue in that way. We expect that they will. Despite these efforts, the funding gap remains. So a lot to try to control costs and everything else, but not for our contract being a big chunk. So while we're here today, today is about presenting a path forward. So we have asked to present a plan financially to move us forward. And we're not making a rush decision. We've been talking about this for years. The board has been working toward this moment through dozens of public meetings, long-term financial evaluation, fiscal impact analysis for the new development. Did that several years ago. The engagement with the independent public finance experts. Earlier this year, we engaged SEI Consulting to provide an objective professional analysis of sustainable funding options. Their work will bring us to the next step of the discussion decision-making process, one that ultimately involves the community. This is all up to the community. It goes through this board. So the process of this meeting, again, I'd expected to have the front row way up here in front of right up in front of the board and have cows. We want to be fair and respectful to everyone here today, the meeting. Our input is critical in the board values. Every comment that we receive, a public comment before any action of the board. A reminder on how we conduct these types of meetings. And keeping with the Brown Act and our meeting procedures, we're not going to, it's not a Q&A format, a question and answer format. And we want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to step forward or stand up, maybe, and give their input to the board on the decision that's before them. Importantly, this is not the only opportunity for public input. We have additional public workshops and Q&A sessions scheduled in April and in May and in June, and those will be advertised. We've got a dedicated website available to provide detailed information, and we'll have a dynamic Q&A associated with that, question and answers. So as we get new questions, we'll update that document and keep that relevant. So today is one step in a transparent multi-step process. So what happens next? We're going to hear the presentation from SEI, and we should be reviewing the engineer's report on funding structure and the next procedural steps, including a potential ballot proceeding. The board, when she's done with the presentation, the board will ask questions if we have any on the presentation. And then we'll open the floor for public comments. Considers any action. With that, I'd like to introduce Melanie Lee, SEI Consulting. And she got a very nice presentation.
Good morning. My name is Melanie Lee. I'm a senior consultant with SEI Consulting Group. And before we go into the presentation, I just want to say a little bit about what SEI does. We are a public finance company. We are a private company, but we work with public agencies throughout the state. It's our 40th year. I think last year was our 40th year. I still can't believe we're in 2026. And what we do, we are one of a handful of companies that work with these public agencies on revenue enhancement measures. So basically what it means is public agencies who need funding. And so those are the That's our expertise that we provide. We We were actually the assessment engineering firm that worked with Groveland CSD back in, I want to say, I think it expired in 2012, their first benefit assessment. And we have kind of corresponded over the last few years as things have been developing. And I will say that most public agencies do not call us when things are great. So we do get the phone calls when there's some challenges that need to be addressed. And in the last few years, in particular, we have worked with a lot of smaller fire districts, anywhere from Yolo County, Santa Cruz, Glenn County, and one borders between Tulare and Fresno. So there's been an uptick in smaller fire districts that need a. So what we're going to show you today is this presentation on what we call the Fire Protection and Emergency Response Services Assessment. It is a, as Pete said, it's the work that a culmination of the work that we have done and also what we have to provide to be able to provide to be able to do a revenue enhancement measure. But this is hopefully will answer a lot of questions. I will say that we are also very, very big on transparency. So we do encourage our clients to hold several outreach outreach sessions. We are also available if you have any questions. And we want to make sure that the process is very clear and is understand easy to understand. We understand that you are also choosing we are being asked for you to tax yourselves. And I want to say that word tax, assess yourselves to be able to provide this service. So we feel that you should have all of the tools that you need to make that informed decision. Okay. Let me just skip this one. So I'm just going to go straight into it. So as Pete was saying, and I think a lot of you know, is that Groveland CSD is a community services district. They offer a wide variety of services. But for their fire services, there's a partnership with CAL FIRE. They have a Schedule A agreement, and CAL FIRE provides the personnel, but the district provides the station, the apparatus, and the equipment. This current staffing model right now is at a 2-0 with a captain and an engineer in response, but eventually that is going to have a phased out. And it's going to be phased into where it's a 3-0 model. So it'll be a captain, an engineer, and a firefighter. And as Pete mentioned, it is not an option. So it has to be a 3-0 or it's nothing. These are consistent with the NFPA and also with the CAL FIRE's. They implemented their own policy on November 1st of 2024. So for the CAL FIRE agreement, Groveland CSD offers the only dedicated apparatus specifically to Groveland community. There is a CAL FIRE resource over at Merrill Road, but that is not guaranteed for Groveland coverage. As I mentioned before, and I will keep saying this, and I do apologize, you're going to hear it over and over and over, that there is a move to the 3-0. The 2-0 is no longer an option. There are rising costs with Groveland CSD, and you will see later that where the revenue is projected to grow at about 3% every year, but the expenses far exceed that every year. Currently, there is no equipment replacement fund to replace the engines that the district has, with the youngest being 17 years old. It takes up to about 3 years for lead time to be able to get a new engine. And it's approximately $1.3. So, Proposition 218. And so I'm going to start off by saying that this was sponsored by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. So I just want to back up a little bit. So there's a lot of you that know about Proposition 13 in California, and that was passed in 1978. And there was a gentleman named Howard Jarvis and Paul Gaines, and there was at the time, property taxes on homes were starting to escalate at a very fast rate. And so they felt that there was very important for property owner protections to be able to put some guidelines on that. Obviously, public agencies needed additional funding, but property owners also needed to be able to understand and be able to have a way to calculate what they were paying for their property taxes. So what they proposed was a 1% on what you purchase your home at, and then every year you could escalate the property taxes at 2% of from there. And that passed in 1978, and the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association was established then. Over that amount of time, there were public agencies that had depended on some of this funding that had started to lose their funding. And there were other options that were available. There's assessments, there's fees, and there's taxes. And so what happens with that is over time, public agencies got a little loose with it. In some cases, before raising money, what they would do is they just only needed a vote of three of the five board members to be able to increase fees. So Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association came back and said, well, we understand you need additional funds. However, we also need to protect the property owners because these are collected on property tax bills. So they came up with Proposition 218, and it's the right to vote on the Right to Vote on Taxes Act. And what that did was it established a specific level of guideline depending on what funding measure that you needed. It provided that way as a guideline to be able to raise those funds. So Proposition 218, the requirement was for fair, equitable, and subject to property owner approval. So one thing I just want to make clear, and I did this, with the process that we're going through now is called a benefit assessment because it is a benefit to property. It is not a tax. It is based on the property owner's vote. And so, and come up in June, we're going to have an election. That is based on registered voter participation. If you are over the age of 18, you are registered to vote, you get a ballot, your vote counts. This is not that process. This is for, in particular, to property owners. And property owners get to vote. Their vote is based on the amount of the proposed assessment that they are being asked to pay. So it requires a simple majority of the weighted votes in favor. So if you return your ballot, only those ballots that are returned, if the weighted votes over that are equal to 50% or more, it is passed. All assessment funds must be deposited into an account that is separate, and it must follow the exact guidelines that is in the engineer's report that we're going to. So Proposition 218 assessment engineering. So this is one of, I think, our firm, like I said, there's a handful of companies what we do. There's an even smaller number of companies that do this in particular. And so what we do is we work with the district to find out exactly what services will be needed because there is a process. There has to be a baseline level of service, and the assessment can only pay for services that are above and beyond that level of service. Okay, so we established what that baseline level of service is. In addition to that, what the financial cost of those services are.
I have a question.
Okay, what those services are. So we worked with a district. We did a 5, 10, 15-year analysis based on the district's current budget. And we looked at the services that were being proposed. Again, the two... the transition to the 3.0 staffing, the cost of replacing fleet, and then the operations. With that information, with an assessment engineer, with the benefit assessment, there has to be an engineer's report that is prepared by a licensed civil engineer. So it cannot just be prepared by anyone else. It's kind of weird because it's not typical civil engineering type of work. So what this engineer's report has to do is anywhere from 30 to 50 pages, depending on what information is being put into, but there has to be a legal basis of why you need this proposed assessment. The other part of the Prop 218 is there has to be a quantification of the general versus special benefits, meaning that the property owners can only pay for the special benefit that they received. So if there is someone coming from outside of the district who does not pay, who does not own property here, but they are going to benefit for the services, that general benefit portion is quantified by the engineer, and those funds have to be paid from a different source. It cannot be paid by the property owner. And then the other thing that we do is we look at the makeup. So we take up the district data. We look at the property types. We look at the acreage. We look at units depending on what the property type is. And based on the budget of what is needed, we come up with what we call an SFE. And depending on the SFE, that provides the proposed assessment rate. The majority of our benefit assessments do have a annual CPI enclosed, and that is because over time, your things just increase, the price of things increase. And so most of our assessments have at least a 3% increase. We have found that if there is no increase, then usually the district will come back within a few years. And this is not a cheap process. So we want to make sure that it's done well, and that you don't have to come back and call us. And just to be very honest, I wouldn't mind working myself out of a job. So if it would be fantastic if all public agencies had enough money and I didn't have to be called. No. As I mentioned, what this report also does is it establishes the proposed assessment rate for the upcoming fiscal year. We always look at the upcoming fiscal years. We don't. The only thing that the history provides is what, like, inflation factors or, you know, the budget. But we always look, what is it going to cost in the following, in the upcoming fiscal year? Okay, so here is one of the 5-year budgets that we looked at. As you can see, this is kind of a Christmassy with the green and red, and I apologize, I didn't mean to do that. But the green shows what the property tax and revenue is looking like over the next 5 years. And so our base year was 25-26. And then for the next 5 years, you can see there's like a slow 3% increase. However, in the total district expenses between 26 to 27 to 30 to 31, you see it is far exceeding what that amount of revenue is being brought in. So over those years, we're looking at a 16% in revenue growth, but a 65% in overall expenses. So this is the budget breakdown for fiscal year 26-27. As you can see, the budget over on the right is what you will see in the engineer's report. The 53% is the Schedule A. We have a staffing reserve that is included in this budget, and we will talk about that a little bit later. There's the apparatus and equipment, as we had mentioned, that currently there is no cost for any apparatus or equipment replacement. So now that is being phased in. Operating and operation, admin operations are only 11.3%, facilities and fuels and contingencies. Over here on this, you can also see on this line item, it'll say total revenue from other sources. That is that general benefit contribution. And so the revenue is there. So this is one of our budgets that we use. Also, if this is approved, the way that this gets paid for, not paid for, but we, in order to be able for property owners to pay for this, we have to provide the information to the county auditor's office, and they place it on the annual property tax bills, and they charge a fee for doing that. So that is also included on there as well. This budget also shows what that proposed assessment budget is. So we looked at the total service needs, we subtract out the revenue from other sources. We had to add back in that county collection charge, and that is our total proposed assessment budget. We have our single family equivalents and the proposed rate at $475.64. And that's the general benefit from the general fund.
The property.
Okay, so what the assessment funds are for. There's a, as I mentioned before, it's a 3-0 transition staffing. So if you see from fiscal year 26-27, there's the 2-0 and there's a 5% increase. And then in fiscal year 27-28, it starts to transition, and that annual increase is 15%. So normally you just have the 5, but now on top of that, you have the extra 10% increase. And then 28-29, the 2 to 3, that one's a 13% increase. And these are all based on the Schedule A contracts that have been signed with CAL FIRE. So it's not something that we, in this case, that we're estimating. That for 26, 27, 28, 29, that contract has already signed. So the 20, 13%, and then 29, 30, that's the three staff, 30 full transition, and that is at 13%. Then you see for fiscal year 30, 31, it goes back down to about, we're averaging at about 5%. Again, we, it will fund the equipment replacement, again, 17 years for one of the youngest fleet that they have, and it's a box, it will be approximately $1.3 million. Contract and operating continuity. Some of the things that we also have when we looked at everything, it's any budgetary information that, like they talked this morning about unfunded OPEB, I think it's OPEB. We also looked at what, like the maintenance, like electricity costs, which it's not just 5%, you know, fuel, you know, now, I mean, who would have thought that now we were paying, you know, $6 for a gallon of gas, you know, it's just things that come up. And so, but we did a very extensive detailed analysis on all of the district's finances. Okay, so how is the assessment calculated? So as I mentioned, we do have the engineer's report. It is available. One of the bases for the engineering is it has to come up with these factors of how it calculates for a specific agencies and for what the funds are for. So the calculation that we have for fire department would be very different if we were working with a park district, or if we were working with even with like a mosquito and vector control district. Everyone has their own set of factors that we use. So what we use is we use what we have a fire risk factor. So we take information that is from the NFPA on structure fires, depending on the property type. We also look at what is the average structural replacement value of those properties. And for that information, we got it from the Tuolumne County Assessor's Office. If we were working with in a different county or different agencies, we would use that county's information. So the structural replacement value is particular to Groveland and Tuolumne County. Then we look at things at fire hazard zone factor. And so I want to go back a little bit. When we talk about special benefit, these are the key factors to special benefit. So what benefit, what is the special benefit to your property that you are receiving? So one of the things that was updated is the CAL FIRE hazard zone. The majority of properties in Groveland are in the very high severity zone. There's, I think some of that it might be in just high. And so we looked at the CAL FIRE map. We put it by parcel, and then parcel meaning property. And those factors, again, if we were in a different fire department, those factors would be different for that fire department. We also looked at time travel factor. That is, again, it has to be special benefits. So the way that our Jarvis Taxpayers Association would look at this is, hey, if you live closer to a fire department, you receive more of a special benefit than someone who lives far, much farther away. So we used a GIS analysis, and we were able to come up with the travel time factors for Groveland. And again, all of this information is particular to Groveland, and it is found in our engineer's report. The amount that for your property will be shown on the ballot. And if you have any questions about it, we will definitely be able to help you answer that.
Can you go back up to the top box and explain that, how those things now to calculate?
Yes. So as I said before, the assessment is the proposed assessment is what you are going to be asked, as a property owner, asked to pay. So what we do is we look at what we call a single family equivalent. Everything starts with the basis of a single family equivalent. The single family equivalent is equal to one. And then based on other factors, we come out, we look at, okay, what is, how would a multifamily property equate to a single family home? And so we have 2 to 4 units multifamily, or we have 5+ units of multifamily. Then we look at commercial properties, industrial properties, storage properties. And we also look at the size. So for commercial properties, commercial, industrial, and storage, it's done on size. For multifamily, it's done based on unit. Again, the single family home, and depending on if the single family home is on a larger lot, they may be assessed a little bit more than just a single family home in a small lot. Vacant is charged a flat rate per parcel. Again, we have the, so for the SFE benefit factor, there's a fire risk, and then we multiply it by that structural value. And then we take that and we multiply that by the fire hazard zone factor times the time, the travel time factor. And yes.
So when you look at travel time, does it also take into consideration wind factors? So in other words, if fire department has to travel up Highway 120 to a resort, we have high winds, that fire is going to take off a lot faster than it would in a residential area because of all the forestry. Does that factor into the analysis?
So like I said, what we use is the ArcGIS Esri analysis. So I will check on that and let you know.
Vacant times structure value, which is not, which is zero, and that comes out to be zero.
So we do the structural value for the vacant would not, because we would charge it like we do it for that one based on the a parcel. So we don't include that structural replacement value. So we wouldn't take we wouldn't multiply a zero times the vacant. It just, it would not exist in that one. We would just look at vacant. There's no, you know, because there's nothing to.
I understand. I'm just, yeah. Just trying to understand. So what, how does the vacant. So it's just 0.4439 for a vacant lot.
For the vacant lot.
Period.
So we would take for this, in this case, we would do the vacant times the fire hazard zone and the distance from the time. Factor. So we just wouldn't look at the structural replacement value.
So what do you use for the value of a vacant lot? Just the,
we're just using land value. Yes. Yes. I really enjoyed that question. So again, as we are proposing the rate for a single family home that is actually in a very high zone under 5 minutes, that rate is $475.64. As you can see, it does go lower if you are a single family home that's in a still in a very high zone, but you are farther away. That rate, that proposed increase would be $413.81. Again, the proposed assessment amount will be on your ballot. And I think if we want to go to the next slide.
Sure. Yeah. Top one, single valley, high zone, 5 minutes, 5. Low valley, very high zone, 15 minutes, less money.
Yes.
It's because you get less benefit.
You get less benefit. The closer you are to the station,
oh, I see,
is the more benefit, is the more benefit that you receive. And that's one of the, yes, and that's one of the special benefit factors that we have to
look at. So if I look at those costs, and I'm a homeowner and I harden my home by putting in ember-proof vents and so forth, is any of it factored into my cost if I'm doing things to protect my home?
Right. So the way that it's designed right now, there is no credit for those specific types of, you know, protections that you put on your
home.
So what I do also want to, and I... the way that this is also structured, as I mentioned before, that there is a CPI that would be, there's an optional CPI. So it's proposed that there's an annual increase, a proposed annual increase of up to 5% each year. However, the one thing with the benefit assessment, and it goes back to property owner protections, that it does require the board to approve the upcoming budget every fiscal year. So prior to any increase, there will be a an engineer's report that will go before the board. It will have the budget, it will have the rates. And if there finds the opportunity where the district can lower the rate, they should lower the rate. And that is one of the benefits of having an annual budget that's being approved and looked at, not only by the board, but there's also going to be an oversight committee. So that the engineer's report, so there is one resolution. There will be a public an opportunity for a public hearing that has to be published in the newspaper, and then the board will hold a public hearing, and there's an opportunity at both of those meetings for public comment to talk about the budget if you have any questions. So how the balloting works. And again, this is very different from the registered voter election that is going to be happening in June. Each property will receive one ballot. If you have multiple properties, our ballots can put up to 14 properties on one ballot. So if you have 28 properties, then you, in that case, you'd receive two ballots. But if you have up to five, six, you'd only get one ballot. It has your parcel number on it, and it has the proposed assessment amount that you would pay. We do use the county's assessor's office records. So whatever mailing address they have on their list for you is where we will mail the ballot. So if it is someone, and this is very different than if you are an out-of-town owner, if you live in Brazil, if you live in London, if that is your mailing address, we are mailing you a ballot. So wherever you are scheduled, wherever your mailing address goes, we can change it. If the property owner calls us and says, hey, we didn't get a ballot, we will issue a replacement ballot. If someone has sold the home within that amount of time, they contact us, they show us proof of purchase, we will cancel the other ballot. We will send a new property owner the ballot.
So how does that apply to the California realtors? So if you're selling a home, this assessment comes into play. Is that law going to be transferred to that real estate agency to communicate down to realtors? So if I'm a buyer, I'm not going to go, what do you mean I'm getting charged another $500? I didn't know anything about it.
So when you purchase a property, there's a disclosure report. They show you all of your property taxes. And so you sign that you're going to pay for the property.
Okay, so this is going to be included in that. Okay.
Only return ballots are counted. So please, please, please spread the word to your friends, family, neighbors. Please return their ballots. We have a scheduled date that the ballots will be mailed on May 7th. The difference here, again, is that for a registered voter election, those are postmarked. So they will count ballots that are postmarked by the election date, but they will count them, I think, up to 72 hours after. This one has to be returned by the public hearing on July 8th. It has to be physically here or wherever the building is. It has to be ready to be tabulated. So if someone shows up after the meeting, we cannot take that one. So again, it's weighted by the assessment amount. If your ballot has, if you're being asked to pay $200, but your neighbor is being asked to pay $50, you get 200 votes, they get $50 worth. It is a simple majority to pass. And then there's also a process now for written objections. When we mail out the ballots, there's a 45-day window for property owner objections. That is also, I will let you know a little bit more of how you'll be able to find out some more information about that. Sorry.
So how does that apply to condominiums? So if you've got to live in a three-story condominium, each one of those is going to be assessed to 475 if it's considered a single-family home?
If they're considered a single family. So we do have, if you look at, in the engineer's report, and so we also send out a ballot notice with the tiers of what each property will pay. And so a condo is separately. They're not charged a single-family rate. Okay.
Madam Chair, are we doing general questions now, or will there be a question-answer period towards the end?
Questions. Whatever you prefer. I'm sorry. I
like doing it this way.
So my name is Steve Grief. I'm the county supervisor, and I represent both this area as well as the entire District 4. And so one of the questions that came up that you had mentioned earlier, one of my questions earlier is you stated, or Mr. Hernandez stated, that the 20-minute time. Are there any properties within GCSD's sphere of influence that are outside of 20 minutes?
No.
Okay. So secondly, this assessment is only for the people that GCSD serves. This does not affect the county. So if there was a vehicle that was traveling outside of GCSD sphere up to a resort, as Mr. Hernandez stated, that would be not an additional charge. That would be just an additional service, a mutual aid service.
Yes, and the district does have a mutual aid.
And I do apologize. I meant to be here earlier, and I got my times messed up. So will you be doing general comments? Are we going to be doing 3-minute comments afterwards? So, and the last thing is a statement that was made earlier, I believe by you, is that you said that there's no dedicated fire service in Groveland. There is. There's the Cal Fire service that the county provides. You're only referring to this assessment for the people that GCSD serve.
Okay, so I just want to show you an example of what an assessment ballot looks like. So like I said, on May 7th, we will be mailing it out. This is for a fire district that we worked with in Winters. This was done last year. And so with Proposition 218, we are required to provide a notice and ballot. The notice basically is a shorter and smaller version of the engineer's report. As I said, engineer's report is about 30 to 50 pages, depending on the information that's provided. But in here, it has to specifically list information is what is the services that are going to be covered? What is the budget? What is the proposed assessment amount? The date of the public hearing. We will also include the district is holding several information, dates for information, outreach information. Those dates will be in there as well. And the information about the anything about the protest. Again, there has to be a 45-day window. It'll be in there on how you can protest. And then we have the outgoing envelope, and it's really important that we want everyone to see what the outgoing envelope looks like, because sometimes people are like, oh, I don't know what this is, and they throw it away. We also don't want it to get mixed up with the county election ballot that will be going out. So you will see that a lot on the outreach information that we put out. Again, we want everyone to understand that this is an official ballot. It's not just spam mail. We also return a postage paid envelope for you to be able to place your ballot into, and it will be sent to there's a PO box that has been yeah, it was. Sorry, thank you. And then, so this is an example, one of the ballots that we provide. So if there's a yes, no option, it has to be signed and dated by the property owner. On the other side of the ballot, we have the property owner name, the mailing address, mail city, state, the assessor's parcel number, and the proposed assessment amount. Again, we can put up to 14 parcels on that ballot. And so just in case if someone does have multiple properties, let's say 3 properties, and they sold one, and they give us a call, we will send the new owner the new ballot, and then we will send the previous owner a new ballot for there too. We also do have systems in place that someone did try to vote. If someone requests a replacement ballot and then they voted or sent in both, we would only be able to, we would count one. And so we have, when we do our tabulation, there's a system in place to be able to stop those. And again, if the person who submitted the ballot with 3 parcels versus their 2, we would be able to catch those. Well,
there's more than one name on a ballot.
So yes, because it is it's the property owner's name. So whatever the county assessor's office has on records, that is the name that you will see on there.
Those signatures would be required.
Just one. And we do have other instructions on if you're a corporation or a public agency who get that opportunity.
The ballot also applies to LLCs, living trust, et cetera, whatever the assessor has.
Yes. And so in some cases, the property owner has passed. It's now in trust. We will then speak to whoever has the authority to be able to make decisions on for that property owner, for that trust.
So the accountability and board oversight, as I mentioned before, one of the things about Proposition 218 is that there is a property owner protection. So the district would like to install a community oversight committee. This way that is not that the community gets involved and they're able to see what the funds are being spent on, and also having the board as the other oversight committee. There has to go, it's going to go again if it's approved, annual board review. There's no automatic increases. The board is going to review the board, proposed budget that is in that engineer's report, and they will either hold the rate flat or they can reduce. So, and again, the rate can go down. Again, if I think this district has been phenomenal in being able to look for grants and be able to get those grants. And as those continue, if they get the opportunity to be able to get a grant, and that can lower the rate, and that is something that, that would be up to the board to be able to look at. Full public transparency. So annual budgets will be available to the public through this engineer's report, and they'll be able to address it at the public board meeting. The annual fire department budgets are available on the district's website, and they are updated on a monthly basis. And I think one of the best things about this assessment engineering is that all assessment funds will be deposited into a separate fund for the fire services only. Okay, so timeline and next steps. Obviously, today we are here. There's two resolutions that we are asking the board to approve today. One is the preliminarily approving the engineer's report and setting the date for the public hearing. And the other board resolution will adopt the procedures for the Proposition 218 process, which means it's allowing the process to be able to start to get the ballots printed and mailed and set the date to public for the public hearing. On May 7th, the ballots will be mailed. Proposition 218 requires at least a 45-day window. We do not have the public hearing until July 8th, so it's a little bit more than a 45-day window. At the public hearing, public testimony can be received. Again, I want to say that between the mailed balloting period and the public hearing, please feel free to call the district with questions. If you have any assessment engineering questions, they will forward them to us. We will give you a call if you have any questions. Well, my boss can talk all the time about engineering and Prop 218. I've been with the firm for like 18 years, so I can as well too. Again, public testimony will be received. At the time, the board will call for ballots, any last call on ballots, and then they will close the public hearing and portion of the meeting, and we will start to tabulate the ballots on that day. And so balloting is tabulation is open to the public, so they would be able to see as a tabulation is happening. Obviously within a distance, it is one of the transparencies that is available. And then if it is approved, then the board will approve a resolution that orders the levy submitted to the county for inclusions on the property. Okay, so some of the key takeaways is Groveland has one fire station. And again, they are contracted with Cal Fire. The current level of service with the 2-0 staffing is no longer an option, and the phase transition to a 3-0 is going forward. The assessment district is going to have funds to cover a replacement for the current apparatus that the engines that the district owns. Property tax revenue, as you saw by the chart, they only increase 3% every year, and the expenses are moving faster than that. And the assessment rate was set based on the current budget that was provided. We did, we looked at 5, 10, 15-year fiscal analysis. We looked at the Cal Fire Schedule A, And all of that information is in a Proposition 218 compliant engine.
In that
mortality.
Yes.
You get a variety of different rates. Oh.
And again, the goal of the exercise to make sure that over the period of time, we didn't go into the negative, knowing what the expenses are going to be, with relative certainty. Looking at what the revenue or existing revenue sources are, we can predict that as well. So the looked at different rates and obviously plugged in lower rates first, anywhere between 2, 5, 7 years we were going in the negative. And so this is the amount that's contained in this budget that keeps us this gives us the means to be able to provide the services that we have to live within and be able to ensure that we can provide the services, can contract with CAL FIRE, and meet those increases in operating costs, that we can replace the equipment on a reasonable schedule. Your time frame as the maximum, if the assessment were to be successful, because of the age of our current engine, we would need to place an order relatively soon. It takes 3 years to get that kind of one. Don't want that crazy with the same breaking down. So that is the budget and the level of this.
So there's one more thing that I want to add. If it's approved, because this is fiscal year 26-27, the district would receive half of its revenue in about December, January, and then the other amount would not be received until the end of the year in 2027.
Way I can remember all of this report is this assessment.
Yes, it's on the district website. Well, it's part of this agenda report. There will be on a website. It'll have a complete FAQ of frequently asked questions about the everything that was presented here, information about the benefit assessment as well. It'll have the engineer's report. It will also, when we get to the time when we're going to mail the documents, we will also upload the notice and a copy. Like, we'll do the notice and an example of we'll put an example of the ballot for people to be able to see. And then we will also put the outpoint. So it'll be all available on the website. Yes.
What? You can come by and pick one up. If you'd like a paper
at
copy.
The district?
We'll make those available.
Fabulous.
Very much. To adopt resolution early. Item B.
Sorry, I think Steve has. You have
Yes. Okay. We usually do it after the motions.
Public comments?
Yes.
Sorry, we would have public comments before, so you could have all the information to make your.
Once I make a, before I make a motion, anybody up here can say anything they'd like to hear, so you have okay. That information. But
it's before we would vote.
Before we vote. So let me make this move to adopt resolution 09-26, getting writings intentions to levy assessments, approving engineer's report, and providing for notice of hearings and the mailing of assessment ballots for the Groveland Community Service District Fire Protection and Emergency Response Services. And two, I've which
one at a
we'll do one at a time. Yes.
Any comments from the directors? The comments now open.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ken, my name is Steve Griever, Supervisor District 4. I want to appreciate the time that you put in to address all these issues. I want to really say thank you to Jennifer for sending me the information that I requested. I would like to know if I could share that information that you sent with the people out there. I represent, like I said, the people of Groveland as well as our of all of District 4, which makes me in a unique position because I also represent your constituents as well as people outside. So there's a lot of interest on this. I cautioned one of the things in the key takeaway, which was the very first line is incorrect. You stated that there's no fires. There's only one station in Groveland. That's not correct. Again, there's a Cal Fire station that the county pays for. So I bring that up because a lot of people think that the county is not doing anything. And there's been a lot of misinformation recently online saying that the county is not doing enough or that we're not doing anything. The county 100% supports your assessment. We believe that you should be as self-funded as possible and as successful as possible. We cannot stand and be told is that we're not doing enough or that the county is being blamed for things that it's not true. So when you are putting your information out, when you are stating what this is for, I would strongly encourage that you let people know that this is for GCSD and not that there's no county service. This is for a way for you to raise funds internally. And we recognize we are in the exact same boat when it comes to Cal Fire's requirements for the safety level for their firefighters is to go from a 2-0 to a 3-0 service. We recognize that. Not only do we recognize it, we feel the exact same pinch. We're right there with you because we're going to have to address that on a county level. So I would strongly encourage that as you move forward through this process, should you vote on to move forward in this process, that the information is really clear, crystal clear that this is an assessment for the people that GCSD serves. And here's why that's also important is because not only do you have that coming up, the county will also be bringing forward the renewal of the ambulance contract. I know at your last town hall meeting, that was questioned about the ambulance service. So there's a lot of people that are already struggling with their fees. They don't understand that when the words like Groveland only has one, it confuses the populace. It confuses the people that you are trying to serve. I would strongly encourage from the county's perspective that you are very crystal clear in the designation of who this assessment is really for, because what we don't want is people to think that they're being untaxed or assessed unfairly or what have you. Secondly, again, we wish to be a partner with the county, or the county wishes to be a partner with your organization. I'm looking for the timer, so I apologize for the 3-minute timer. The county wants to be a partner in this process. We don't want this to be an adversarial situation. We too, like I said earlier, are struggling to bridge the gap. As you know, we have taken this unusual step, and a very unpopular step, to close a fire station. Because of that, I think the number is almost the same. It's like $1.6, $1.7 million gap. So we feel, again, the pain. We're in the same boat as you. We want to be a partner. But right now, online, there's a gross amount of misinformation that we are trying to not address. By 3 minutes?
No, that was just a test on her.
All right. You can tell me to shut up. I can't go on. In a nutshell, right now, there's a lot of information out there, whether that's correct sources of information being stated or it's incorrect. The county has a fiduciary responsibility to its membership to make sure that this is an assessment that your organization is putting on, not that the county is putting on, that the services that GCSD provides to the county, as it was stated earlier, potentially online, that there would be a request to charge the county for services due to a mutual aid agreement. That doesn't happen. So to Mr. Hernandez's point, yes, we are very grateful and thank GCSE for taking the steps to have a great fire service, just as we are very supportive of your fire service needs too. So as you move forward on this, I am more than willing to be a sounding board to assist in getting your message out. I will announce your public hearing dates. I will do all of the things necessary to make sure you're successful. What I ask in return is that the message to your constituents is crystal clear that this is an assessment you're putting on there because it's a need you have, not because the county is not being a fair partner. Thank you.
Any more questions?
Yes, Anne.
Okay.
Daniel Klein, 20739 Rising Hill Circle. I am in favor of this assessment because it will hopefully allow more insurers to be available to us going forward at the 3.0 staffing requirements. You would hope that would attract, you know, a more competitive insurance feeling up here. I don't know, but a more competitive marketplace. And I think that, you know, anything that we can do to support our local fire department, keep it here locally, their local control, you know, aging infrastructure and apparatus and increasing staffing, you know, it's going to be a problem whether that stays in local control or goes, you know, to another control. I support it. I just want to, as a constituent of the district, I just want to put out that I hope that all the constituents of the district.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Echo what you said. If we look at it, I'm not excited about paying for something else because we get hit with so many other expenses. But the reality is, if you look at it, it's $1.30 a day, what it boils down to when you look at the $475 a year. So when you look at it from that perspective, it's absolutely the right thing to do.
That was short and sweet.
Yes. First, I want to be clear that we greatly appreciate cooperation we're getting with the county. You guys have just been a long-term negotiation and partnership that definitely we get. And I think it's a reasonable thing that when we see on this circle, that we know that there's a county engine available that provides primary service outside of the district. Certainly, but mutual aid within the district. We should, you know, I think that's worth emphasizing. We don't want to confuse people. But from the point of view of the engineer's report, when you talk about the one engine, because it's the only engine we have. And, I mean, that is our, this engineer's report is pertinent to the district's fire service alone. It's not, we want to be really careful. We don't confuse people. You know, we've been talking about this really since I joined the board, which was, hell, that was 10 years ago.
For a decade, that
years
was
ago. Because we've never had enough income from the property taxes to actually support the fire service that we just, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here. This really is the first time that we've made a serious effort, because it takes a lot of time. And a bit of money, fundamentally address the fact that we want to have fire service here. We have to pay for it. We, the residents of it.
The county planning on putting out a ballot this spring also?
For
the fire service?
No. Only thing that we have slated, and I don't think it's there's two questions. I don't think we have a ballot going out in the spring. I think it's going to go out in November, but I can double check with the county and get back to you on that. Secondly, the only thing that I'm aware of is the the only other thing that we're talking about is that ambulance renewal, that service, that contract expires in the end of the next year. So we want to get it on the ballot now. And obviously, as you know, we are going through the RFP process for the ambulance service. So we want to make sure that we're getting that information out to you as well, because it does affect you too.
So there'll only be ballot going regarding fire services. We're to make sure that the public knows if the county puts out a ballot. They would be paying for GCSD's fire department. They wouldn't be paying another one for the county, but the county wouldn't be sending.
I will double check with our elections office. My understanding, the only thing that we will be sending out will be for the ambulance. And we actually did talk to the staff regarding that. We were concerned too that there potentially could be some confusion on a fire service or a 1% sales tax or an ambulance. So we did not want to get in the way of your process as well. So I think what we're doing,
Now is we're only going to be focused on November, but should that change, I will let you know.
Thank you.
Well, along with the comments we just heard, I'd like to assure the board that I'll work very closely with Steve in the messaging part of it, and you know, sharing that to make sure that we have that absolutely clear on that message. Because as I stated early on, I don't know, Steve, you may have just come in after I was talking about the relationship with the county, and that it's a huge benefit to have that. We need to continue to work cooperatively with the county to keep that level of service intact with their engine, and that this is the only one that we control. This fire department that is dedicated. And so, yeah, it is tricky messaging, and that I'd love to work with you directly in the county or whoever to go over that messaging, make sure we're clear.
Can I make? So the power of the internet, I just got a text saying the only November, it'll only be in November. Okay. Sending out for the ambulance. And we too agree, you know, like I said, I did come in late, and again, I do apologize. We want to be a supportive partner with this as well. I think we all agree that when you call 911, you expect a fire truck to show up, whether it's a white one or a red one. No one cares. They just want the service. And so we wholeheartedly, but the concerns that I'm hearing outside of your constituents is that the message is that you're taking this step because the county is bad actors. And I'm trying to fight that on the outside, saying that this is not true. We co-author, co-share, we work with this organization. We want this organization to be successful because it's a benefit to both of us. So whatever I can do to help be a bridge between to get that message out, that is open. I look forward to being an assistance. But like I said, just off of, and you're right, I came in right as you were chronically praising the county. So I did appreciate that. So, you know, I wish I came in where you were not praising us, and I'd have a better leg to stand on. However, but if you go off the presentation, one, it does not say anything about there's only one engine, right? It just says there's one engine. It doesn't say that GCSE only has one. And twice in that, maybe I missed it, but twice in the presentation, it says that Groveland only has one truck. That's obviously not true. There's actually three trucks. And the distance, and more importantly, I think people don't understand is that Groveland is a very large area, right? It goes from, you know, Big Oak Flat all the way up to the Yosemite Valley floor. So when you're talking about servicing Groveland, it confuses people. So if it's servicing the sphere of influence of GCSD, that message is a lot easier for me to explain to people than when they hear, well, why is GCSD putting an assessment on my property to serve the resorts upcountry? That's not true. That's not the message you want to get out, right? The message is that you want to have more funding to support your fire needs and apparatus and the infrastructure and things like that too. So we're right there with you. We're saying the exact same. It's just the message. We want to make sure that we support your message.
Okay. What references are your constituents using as a resource for any of those possible negative stuff?
Well, believe it or not, the worst thing out there is social media. Right? So a lot of social media, right?
It's not coming from us.
Well, there are. There are people putting, okay. There are statements that have been made by board members and others that have made statements that are technically not correct. And we are fighting those battles online. I issued a 13-point response yesterday. To a number of things which were not true or perceptions weren't true. So your organization has the same problem my organization has. Is people won't come to the source, right? They go online, they read something, they interpret it. Someone tries to say something right, it gets completely convoluted, which is why, but, you know, we have talked about having a better working relationship between the two organizations. And I think this is an opportunity. You and I specifically talked about this.
I appreciate
that. All the branches there, I will support however I can to get your message out. The message has to be clear that the constituents in your area understand that this assessment is for you to take the needs that you need to be successful. And it's not because the county is a bad actor. That's what they're hearing. I don't understand why. Well, let me explain why. That's not what they said. Well, who's they? I read it on the internet. Well, that's a bad source, right? So I want to build those bridges to make sure that we are supporting you and that you feel supported by the county, not just lip service that I'm giving you right now, or the actions I can take, but that the county can get behind you as well.
Appreciate that, because even after you and I talk, administration, stuff like that, that's the goal.
I mean, thank you. I'd like to thank you.
One thing, to talk about the engines, I know it's all confusing, but you can look at it many different ways. But 781 is the one dedicated engine to up here in Groveland. There are two engines at the Cal Fire B house, but they are for the state mission. So they can get pulled down to Southern California or to anywhere in the state at any time. And engine 631, well, it is up here and it does help out a lot. It's for the county mission. And it does at times get pulled down to the 108 corridor or anywhere else when there's something else going on. So we do have one engine up here all the time, but yeah, there's a lot of other engines up here most of the time, but you can't always count on those engines.
I think, you know, the message that we want to project, I think, is for, you know, our fire service up here is a partnership between GCSD County, actually. And this assessment is to raise enough money for GCSD to be able to hold up our end of that partnership. It's not because there's something wrong with the county. It's because, you know, we can't afford to do our part without another source of funding. So I think we do want to be very careful that we stress that.
The messaging is really directed towards the constituents because, like you said, Groveland is a very large area, but the mass population falls within GCSD fire district boundaries. I mean, that's where the majority of the people who live in the vast Groveland area, I mean, this is where the concentration is. And so by that messaging, I don't disagree that we can, you know, make it a little clearer, but we're really trying to hit home to the people who live within Pine Mount Lake Groveland area that GCSD engine is your dedicated engine for you, which is where the majority of the population is in the Groveland community. So that's all the effort to do that messaging wasn't saying, because people do get confused. They're like, well, there's another engine on the Merrill station. There's here. And so that was just in the effort to let them understand the GCSD engine is the number one sole dedicated engine for you people within our boundary, not the county engine. It's not the Merrill station engine, even though they're here to support through, you know, mutual aid. But so that was the only intent was when we said that. But I do understand there's a larger Groveland area, but but the majority of the populace lives within the district boundaries.
I know this isn't proper, so I'll shut up if you want, but I'd like to add to that, a little bit of that. And too, it's a post-COVID world, right? So a lot of the homes that were part-time homes, vacation homes, they're now full-time Airbnbs, right? So we're seeing your impact. We feel the damage to the roads. We understand what you're going through. So you're right. The majority of the people that live in this, in the nucleus of the GCSC boundaries is exactly that. However, and it comes down to messaging and your message for the people outside want to support the people on the inside. They just don't understand how to do it because there's a lot of misinformation on up there. Like, why don't the other resorts pay, et cetera, et cetera. We fight those battles and we tell you, it's not you, it's us, right? We're breaking up. It's not you, it's me kind of thing, right? So we want to make sure that we are being supportive, but that message has to be very clear that this assessment is for their fire department that serves their community and their people, and not, like I said, otherwise. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but we want to really be a partner. That horse I'd like to beat to death, right? That we really want to be a partner in making sure that you are successful. Because should the county move forward in a special sales tax for fire law enforcement in the future, we'd like a little love in return, right? Because we know it's going to impact, right? So we don't want to be seen as adversarial, but on the other side, I do have the other part of the area that's saying, well, why is this going up? Thank you for, again, allowing. Yes, ma'am.
The county tried before with the sales tax to support the party. Why? Why isn't the county doing what GCSD is doing, fighting, asking us for a parcel tax? Fire department. So it's.
I don't think specific. We legally can do that. I think a sales tax would be something along those lines. You know, because you're not doing a tax, you're doing an assessment. If we were to do a tax, it would have to be a whole different thing. So you're doing an assessment. So you're asking no different than Pine Mountain Lake. If they were going to replace the clubhouse, instead of doing a rate increase, they would ask for everybody to do an assessment. We're seeing this out of LA right now. There's quite. Getting into the weeds, so tell me to shut up. But like Palisades,
The homeowners association said, even though your home burned down, we're still going to put a new roof on this building. You got to pay 20 grand. That's silly. That's bad government. So we can't do that. So the only way we can raise funds is either a sales tax or a special sales tax or a citizen initiated sales tax. So we want to make sure that we're not double tripling the fees that are hitting people. So
the county has no specific funding.
Janice, we should stick to the agenda.
Okay. It doesn't really have to do it. It's absolutely excellent conversation. We should have the conversation and intend to cooperate on this all the way through. I just want to make sure we don't talk too much about the county business as it relates to agenda items.
Any other questions I could answer?
Tom has a question.
I don't answer to Tom. Okay. All right. Well, again, thank you for allowing me to break your protocols and ask multiple questions or make more. Thank you.
So you may have discussed this already, so bear with me for a moment. So when the county approves plans for it could be a resort or a new structure, I know in the past UCSD wasn't included in that, so they had to scramble their resources that are supported. So are plans in place now going forward? So anything that comes out of the Planning Commission, ECSD is additionally tied in, and those legal documents, legal wordings in there so that they understand what they've got to support instead of, surprise, you got a new resort over here or a new structure. So I know, again, that was an issue in the past. Has that been fixed going forward?
I will defer to you.
We have a county engine.
So I'll defer to the question of whether or not you were looped in on it, so I don't want to.
Oh, well, that's a completely different agenda topic, Tom. You know, and that's where that's what I talked about early on in my report, is just the fact that we're working to get a closer relationship on the planning end of it with the county, so that we don't end up as on the other end of things. And so it's separate from this funding measure, and that was the reason. The county recognized its obligation to provide service and provided the engine staffed, and that's where it is. As long as those projects exist and are functioning, there's a need for county presence here. And that's a good thing for Groveland, and it's a good thing for them as well.
But just to add to that, all projects that are developed and goes through the planning process, GCSD is aware of. They do submit to the county, and there are concerns. Secondly, and this is something that I really want to emphasize that I should have on first, so we really would like all the people, all organizations to stop blaming the past boards. I wasn't on the board 20 years ago when Evergreen went in. I'm on the board now, we can start moving those forward. So we will take that, we will work with our partners. And it's actually a good segue to support their argument or their position on needing the assessment, because county does have a certain obligation and so do they. So another reason why we want to be successful or make them successful are options.
Appreciate that.
Hey, we're ready to
start. Thank you, ma'am.
Was made. Are you seconded? Yeah.
Small. Aye.
Aye.
To refresh me on.
All right. Yes.
Maybe mention. I'm second.
We lines to adopt resolution dash 20. Exit object
218
assessment. Teacher.
Second that.
Other comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Now we are going to item E. Fun stuff. Adoption of a resolution recommending. Wait a minute. Well, here's Rich. Item E. Adoption of a resolution recommending Andy Klein on retirement for his efforts and accomplishments in Groveland Service District. That was very difficult to say because we're going to miss you tremendously.
Can I introduce this a little bit and then let everyone else tackle the man? Andy's choosing to leave us
in 2 days on his birthday. And we've known this for a little while now. But I think you might remember in one of the early anniversaries with Andy, Louis talked about Andy's uniform. Really tried to find a unicorn outfit to wear today.
Gosh.
By unicorn, it was, Andy's just exactly the type of person that we love to be able to attract from other entities. We can't offer the salaries of the Bay Area or the benefits of the Bay Area. And now we can't really offer the lower cost of living might occur in a more urban area. So we have to offer an environment, both the work experience that you might have here as well as where you live. And that's what brought Andy here. And I can't say exactly why he brought you here, but he came to us with a lot of experience, stepped right into the role as the supervisor of all the operations, has done a fantastic job in organizing everyone and keeping morale up and doing a great job. We've got a number of his staff here in support of him, and if I'd like to speak, I'd love to hear from him, but he's one of the big things that he did is this document that's in your packet talks about the district project, but then there's also the PGE project, the undergrounding project there that all of these guys supported in under Andy's leadership, just to keep the water flowing. Things were blowing up, getting torn apart at the same time that we had $20 million worth of infrastructure projects going on. It all took some level of coordination, involvement, location, pulling your hair out, whatever it was. And Andy was there to keep the peace and entertain people. And he's done a fantastic job. And we love it when he joined us. Love it that he's retiring. And so I want to best wishes to Andy.
Yes.
Everything he's done, of course.
That's unfortunate. They've been in the vocational rehabilitation industry for the past 30 years. Being happy where you're working and the location where you're working is a lot of money. Well, obviously, you've been pretty pleased with where you've been at, so.
Try to enhance it, as much as I can. It's an accomplishment. The turnover has dropped dramatically. I've seen pretty much since I've been here. We've had one little hiccup, but we got past that.
So this job fair.
But everybody has been an absolute pleasure to work with. Yes. Always remember 5 years had a few of them.
And you have a letter from our operations manager, Louis Melchor. Couldn't be here, vacation, but he asked me to read it to you. I'll also try. Says, Andy, this is a tough moment for the district because of what you meant to GCSD. You brought something special, dedication, dependability, and camaraderie. Having you as a supervisor made my job a lot easier. I never had to worry about what was happening in the field because I knew you showed up every day ready to handle any situation, tough decisions, or filling in wherever needed. It didn't matter. You were always there and ready. And you managed to do this without losing your well, most of the time. But one thing for sure, you treated everyone fairly, with respect, and with a sense of family. And everything wasn't just about work. You made time outside of it too, from after hour events to organizing things like the A's games. Now that you are heading into retirement life, I know one thing for sure, there'll be no more late night calls, alarms, or carrying two phones. You've earned it. Just know this, you might be retiring, but you'll always be a part of the GCSD family. Now I'm trying to process your timeline. I remember something like 2 years before this day,
But apparently that turned into 2 months. I think we all forgive you, though. I wish I could be here in person today to celebrate you and to see you off in the next chapter, but I took a vacation at the wrong time. Thank you for everything, for your leadership and your friendship. Go Raiders, and don't let Bob give you a hat. I'm not sure they either.
Very, 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 very nice. Any of this team want to jump up and say something?
Point they're not sneaking up on him with some Gatorade.
Upside, maybe not. They're already a car for your time.
Yes. As C&D lead, working under Andy, I've learned more than I thought I could. I came in 8 years ago, and he came in a couple years after, and I've just kind of tried to shadow him and learn as much as I can and absorb everything that he throws out at us. So, had a lot of good times, and I'm grateful for him being here. And, you know, I'm hopefully moving up, and I've learned a lot from him. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Shane, were you going to read the resolution?
I don't think so. I won't read the resolution.
We're done. Any other comments?
No.
Move to approve resolution 11-2026, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Groveland Services District commending Lineford City Service, Groveland Community Services District, congratulating him on his retirement. I'm not going to read the entire thing. See, it's written a copy of it. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I have a comment. We love you, Andy, and Amber Shone said he will be really missed.
There it is. Oh.
Hey.
That's priceless.
The guys, or Matt, bought a frame and adding pictures to it. It's a basically a digital frame. Everybody's been adding pictures to it. It's in the office that they're going to give it to. I'm going to take it down to Mexico, and they'll be able to add pictures whenever they want. So,
be prepared. That's what's not like a social room, the internet. You
think so? Yeah. Look what's found in the pipe.
Yeah. I'll get those. Back, wake up and walk out and see if it's a full pipe.
Okay. Item D.
Oh.
Yes. Well, did we actually? Oh, yes.
Right.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Coordinated actions.
I know.
Good.
Adoption of a resolution appointing the board to serve on the following regional water JPK board.
Sean has worked in that position of the local chair. Participate. This is a joint powers authority that we belong to for quite a while. We have, if as you probably know, it's a cooperative effort among a variety of water districts, wastewater districts, county, city of Sonora, and also a number of NGO members.
and serve on the Watershed Advisory Committee. The purpose of it is to develop a cohesive plan that results, that develops an integrated water resource management plan that benefits the entire region, the Tuolumne-Stanislaus region. And in doing that, this JPA and the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan have been successful in securing many millions of dollars for watershed improvements, wastewater improvements, water system improvements. We most recently received money in the water fill station. Steve, if you haven't seen that, or come by, we'll show it to you. It's at the district office, filling tanks, filling trucks for filling jugs. If somebody has a failed well or whatever, they can come in and pay money and fill up right there in the parking lot.
So it's here on time. I said I wanted to go see the lift station that we just approved for you as well.
Those are the types of things, these joint benefit projects that IRWIP funds, Lift Station 16 rehabilitation funded that. The water fill station, and I know many other projects. It's just we include our projects into the mix, projects from other agencies. And the goal is for the NGOs and non-government organizations, as well as the other members, to come up with projects that have multiple benefits. From carbon reduction perspective, water supply perspective, wastewater management perspective. And so it's a great venue. I've been participating in it since 2008. And the first plan was adopted in 2012. And so it's been a long-standing effort. It would be great to have a member of the board of directors serve on that. I do attend. Rachel Perman also has been attending. There seems to be a lot of to-do things associated with it, but having a board member on the JPA is the desired way.
Thank you. We're looking for a volunteer to do this.
For a volunteer.
Supply chain will not allow me to be able
to. I'm gone so much that I was hoping somebody else could.
Every other month I've got a there could be some conflicts. I could do it. We get to designate non-board member alternate.
I'm there as the alternate.
So I can audit. I could
do the same thing, but I could just.
There are issues sometimes with my other JV. But we can do it.
Here's your SDRMA.
I was trying to do with SDRMA. We'll probably fill sometimes, but we have alternative.
And fill it for you.
It's not a board.
Okay.
Do you have
alternate?
Are you an alternate?
John Weston.
Be an alternate. It doesn't have to be a board member. I'll serve as the alternate. So we have to be there for a certain number of meetings. So I'll always alternate.
Hey, Bob's the man. Got one.
Would be to fill in the blank on the resolution. Via points.
Move to adopt resolution 12-20, appointing Director Bob Swan to serve on the Tuolumne-Stanislaus Regional Water Management Power Authority Board of Directors. Okay, all in public comment? Is that what we're talking about? That's a trick question. All in favor?
Aye.
Bob?
I've never managed to avoid it in the past.
I think you're sorry, Bob. Updating the command, so it's a big act, right?
It's a scaffold.
There's this last page, Tuolumne Stanislaus Integrated Indian Tribes Agency, signing agency tribe. Is that that's in general form?
Yeah, that's the destination.
Wow. Our tribe.
Did you want to adjourn the meeting?
Yes, I do. Any other comments before we leave?
Ronnie just said that we're going to miss you.
Ronnie said what?
Ronnie said she's going to miss Andy.
Oh. So it's from the floor. Hey, Roger. Everybody's adjourned.